بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسنة المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البردسبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب التجارة فيما يكره لبسه للرجال والنساء Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last week we discussed the second verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah, wherein Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ. Do not help and assist one another in sin. The issue is, where do you draw the line in helping and assisting one another in sin? And what constitutes a sin? Especially in this era where things are so interlinked and things are so closely linked to each other. We discussed there are five principles that we could use as a guideline in determining where it is prohibited to help and assist in sin. And just to briefly repeat those five points, if a person is selling an item that has a singular purpose, can be only used for a sinful activity, then it is prohibited to sell that item. The example that was given was intoxicants, drugs, or musical items that are specially designed for music. The second example, items that are used for dual or multiple purposes, but they express intention or mention of committing a sin with that. For example, selling grapes with the intention of making wine and alcohol. The third, if items have dual or multiple purposes, it could be used for something permissible, it could be used for something that is prohibited, but there is no express mention of committing a sin with that. It is permissible to sell such items, and if a person happened to abuse that item in a sinful activity, that person will be responsible. The fourth, if an item has dual or multiple purposes, but it has a direct cause in committing a sin, for example, selling weapons at the time of war, then it is prohibited to sell such items. And the fifth, we explain that if an item has dual or multiple purposes, it could be used for sinful activity, it could be used for something that is permissible. And it could be used for a sinful activity as a distant cause. For example, making steel, manufacturing steel, it could be used for weapons, but it is not directly used for weapons. To sell such items will be permissible. In today's discourse, we will extend on that. And we will discuss five more issues. people sell clothing, we get different types of clothing. Clothing that are specifically designed for males and clothing that are specifically designed for females. What is designed specifically for males, it is prohibited for females to wear and vice versa. Certain clothing only females can wear, males cannot wear. For example, silk. It is permissible for females to wear silk, but it is prohibited for males to wear silk. Or certain clothing could be worn in public, and certain clothing could only be worn in the privacy of one's home. But is there a possibility that clothing that are sold, that are made only for males, a female may wear it? Or clothing that are normally manufactured or made to wear in the privacy of one's home, somebody may use it in public. What is the Sharia position of selling such type of clothing? There is a potential that somebody, the purchaser, may abuse the use of such clothing. Second issue, what is the Sharia position of selling clothing or any fabric that has pictures of animate objects on it? The third, what is the Sharia position of selling dolls? And especially the dolls of today, the Barbie dolls, and you get those big dolls, selling those kind of dolls, is it permissible to sell it, and what is the ruling of its proceeds? The fourth, is it permissible to sell newspapers? For example, here we get the Mercury, you get the Daily News, you get the New Age, or the different type of magazines. Some are entertainment magazines, some are information magazines. The fifth, if a person is an IT specialist, is it permissible for him to develop software, which could be used for something that is permissible, it is also potential of it being used in something that is haram and prohibited. And what is the position of a person that works on Google's maps? Sometimes a person is employed on Google's. His responsibility is to identify places. Sometimes identify a masjid, identify a shopping center, or at times it may be identifying a church or a temple for that matter. What is the Sharia position of that? Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, he says, he discusses the trade of clothing that is prohibited for males and for females. He presents the narration, وَبِهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا آدَمْ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا شُعْبَى قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو بَكَرِ بْنَ حَفْصًا سَالِ بْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرَ نَبِيهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ وَعَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ قال أرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى عمر بحلة حرير أو سيارة فرآها عليه فقال إني لم أرسل بها إليك لتلبسها إنما يلبسها من لا خلاق له إنما بعثت إليك لتستمتع بها يعني تبيعها. The translation of the narration is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu a set of silk clothing. Silk is prohibited for males, but permissible for females. Oh, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent siyara, it is a garment, a sheet that has pattern on it. And it is made out of silk. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent this garment to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And later on another occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that silk garment on Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala himself was wearing the silk garment. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, I did not send the silk garment to you so that you may wear it. That person who wears, that male that wears a silk garment, he would have no share for him in the akhirat. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned him. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, I have sent the silk garment to you so that you may derive some benefit through it. That is by you selling it. From this, we deduce that one point, that silk, it is permissible for females, not permissible for males. But it is permissible for a male to sell a silk garment, something which he cannot wear. He can sell it and the proceeds of that will be halal and it will be permissible for him. The second hadith, وبه قال حدثنا عبد الله بن يوسف قال أخبرنا مالك النافع عن القاسم بن محمد عن عائشة أم المؤمنين رضي الله تعالى عنها وأنهم أنها أخبرته أنها اشترت نمرقة فيها تصاوير فلما رآها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قام على الباب فلم يدخله فعرفت في وجهه الكراهية فقلت يا رسول الله أتوب إلى الله وإلى رسولي ماذا أذنبت؟ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بال هذه النمرقة؟ قالت قلت اشتريتها لك لتقعد عليها وتوسدها فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أصحاب هذه السور يوم القيامة يعذبون فيقال لهم أحيوا ما خلقتم وقال إن البيت الذي فيه هذه السور لا تدخله الملائكة. The translation of the narration is, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Qasim ibn Muhammad says, that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha informed him of this hadith, of this incident, which she had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha purchased a pillow. And on that pillow, there were pictures of animate objects. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that pillow that had pictures of animate objects, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even enter the house. He stood by the door and he did not enter. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, I saw the Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I recognized displeasure on the Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I immediately went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I said, Ya Rasulullah, I make tawbah towards Allah and His Rasul. I seek repentance to Allah and I make tawbah towards Allah and His Rasul. What sin have I committed? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to Aisha, what is this pillow? This pillow that had pictures of animate objects? Hadha Aisha says, I have purchased it for you, Ya Rasulullah, so that you may sit on it or you may recline on it. That's when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, verily, the people of these pictures, people that draw these pictures of animate objects, on the day of Qiyamah, they will be punished. It will be told to them, give life to that which you have created. You drew these pictures, see if you can put life in it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that house in which there are these pictures, pictures of animate objects, the malaika will not enter such houses. There is a very important aspect of this hadith as a form of adab. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not enter the house, Hadha Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she immediately agreed, she confessed she had done something wrong. She said, أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَى رَسُولِ. Then she asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَاذَا أَزْنَبْتُ? What sin did I commit? From this we understand that very, very important, that if our elders, our seniors, they're unhappy with us, they notice that we have done something wrong and they show displeasure, don't go in a defense, immediately accept it. And then ask the person for guidance, what wrong have I done? This is one adab we learn from the attitude of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Unfortunately nowadays, the attitude is that we immediately go on a defense and people don't listen nowadays to elderly people and senior people. Whereas, if a person creates this attitude of listening, whatever the elders say, whatever the seniors say, the person will go far away in life. And one of the signs of a successful believer is for him to listen. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, where he identifies, he characterizes a believer, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. That we listen, we obey. And where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen, they say, سَمِعْنَا وَعَسَيْنَا. We listen, but we disobey. In one hadith in Bukhari Sharif, a sahabi mentioned, بَايَعْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَلسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. We took bay'at, allegiance on the hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to listen, to obey. So if a person listens, he goes very, very far in life. When people will be in Jahannam, so the people will ask them, what made you all go into Jahannam? So they will say, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعْ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ سَيْدْ. Had we only heard, had we only understood, we wouldn't have been in the wrong place. Hadha Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha immediately saw signs of displeasure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She immediately accepted. She humbled herself and she said, I must have done something wrong. Ya Rasulullah, what wrong have I done? And immediately Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then corrected her. Coming to those issues, the five issues that we have raised. Is it permissible to sell clothing? Clothing that is specifically for males, possibility a female may wear, or clothing that are specifically for females, there's a possibility a male may wear, or clothing that could be used only in the privacy of the home, but could also be used in public, wrongly used by people in public. It is permissible to sell such type of clothing. And if a person abused it, if a male wore female clothing, or female wore male clothing, or clothing that are meant only for the privacy of one's home, somebody has used in public, then the person himself will be sinful. However, selling such clothing, the proceeds of that will be halal, it will be permissible. Selling clothing or selling items that have pictures of animate objects. Now, if there are big pictures which resembles idols, to sell such kind of item that have those kind of pictures, and the pictures are purposeful. And the indication of that is that that item without a picture would be cheaper, and the item with the picture would be more expensive. That shows that the object of that item is the picture. To sell such items is not permissible. However, if there are small pictures on it, and the fuqaha have explained that if a person is standing and if he's looking down on the floor, then he cannot see the picture. The picture is invisible. He has to go right close by to see it. To sell such items having such pictures would be permissible. However, our ulama advise against it. The third is to sell the dolls. Now, the ulama differ whether you can have the doll, especially for children, they like to play with dolls, etc. Is it permissible or not? As far as the small dolls are concerned, there's two views of the ulama, and many of our ulama discourage using such dolls because, according to some narration, it has been abrogated. However, nowadays, you get those big dolls, all the ulama are unanimous, especially the Barbie dolls, the big dolls, that is completely haram and that is prohibited. The fourth, selling newspapers, magazines. The purpose of newspapers and magazines are not the pictures. It's the content, the news. That is the purpose in it. So to sell newspapers, to sell the magazine, on condition those magazines are not immoral magazines. They don't have evil content in it. General news magazines, to sell that, that would be permissible. And the purpose, yes, of course, if a person happened to purchase the newspaper, or he buy the magazine specifically for some wrong picture, evil picture, he will be responsible for it. But the purpose of the newspaper, the purpose of the magazine is the content, not the picture in it. And the fifth issue, developing a software where it could be used for something that is permissible. It could also be used for something that is impermissible. It has dual and alter, multiple uses in it. And if a person just developed the software, it could be used in various avenues. Then it is permissible for him to do that. The trade, the income of that will be permissible. But if somebody abuses the software in a haram way, he will be responsible, not the person that developed it. Likewise, Google's Maps. If a person works on Google Maps, they have to identify certain places there. So if he have to identify, for example, a church, or he have to identify a masjid, or identify a shopping mall, so there he is simply identifying the place. He is not taking the person to the place. Google Map itself will take that person to that place. The person himself not taking the person to a church or to a casino or to a sinful place to commit the sin. The person will be going there with his own action. Yes, of course, in some fatawa kitab, it is mentioned that you cannot direct a person towards a church. But that is in the case when you're actually holding the hand of the person and taking him to the church. Otherwise, if there's a church at the mark, for example, there's a directory. And in the directory, it is recorded there's a church. And nowadays, sometimes, for example, there's a church that is for sale. Now, can Muslims go and buy the church? They need to know where the location is. They would go and have a look at it. And they would even buy it to convert it to a masjid. That surely will be permissible. So, to just working for Google Maps, that doesn't, making the marking of certain places is not prohibited. If a person has to go to a wrong place with the wrong intention, he will be responsible for it. It's not the person that did the markings on it. We go to a second chapter. Babu sahibu sil'ati ahakku bisawm. The meaning of this chapter is that when a person sells an item, the seller, the owner of the item, he is more deserving, he is more entitled in stipulating the price of the item. In this, we also discuss five issues. We know that when a person sells the item, you got to stipulate the price. If you don't stipulate the price, then it will lead to a dispute. But is there any proof in the Shariat where you got to stipulate the price and what is the rationale of stipulating the price? The second, when should the price be stipulated? At times, you would buy an item and the price is not stipulated. But in the course of the transaction, you could finalize the price. The third, selling an item with price tags. In certain places, items are sold with codes, not with the price tags. What is the Sharia position of that? The fourth, is it permissible to sell an item based on a market value? You don't stipulate the price. You just tell whatever is the price in the market, I will sell you the item on that. And the fifth, and many people have asked this question, that people especially doing import, export, or even local, that they would hire something, they would order something from the supplier, but before, that right in the beginning, they would agree on a price, and then they would keep on drawing items from the supplier without renewing the price. So what is the Sharia position of that? Let us look at the hadith first. وبه قال حدثنا موسى ابن إسماعيل قال حدثنا عبد الوارث عن أبي التياح عن أنس ابن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه وأنهم أجمعين قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا بني النجار ثامنوني بحائطكم وفيه خرب ونخل أنس ابن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه says نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said O بنو النجار state the price of your orchard. And in that orchard, there were ruins and there were palm trees, date trees there. This hadith refers to when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Hijrah came to Madinah to Munawwara. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to build, establish Masjid al-Nabawi. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was looking for a suitable place and he came across this place where presently Masjid al-Nabawi has been built. And it belonged to the tribe of Banu Najjar, who actually belonged to some youngsters there. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, he offered to buy it. And in some hadiths we understand the owners of that land, they were prepared to donate, to give that land free of charge to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, no, stipulate a price. From this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi deduces the point that when a person is selling the item, although the purchaser would want to bargain with the seller, but the right of stipulating the price of the owner of the seller, he has the right. Here, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed very clearly, he is a purchaser of the land. And Nabi then tells the owners of the land, y'all stipulate the price. From this we understand that although you may bargain with a person, respect the right of the owner and give him a right also, an entitlement in stipulating the price. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then purchased the land of Masjid-e-Nabawi, wherein Masjid-e-Nabawi, where the masjid was being built. Now coming to the 5 points that we have raised, that one should stipulate the price of the item. If you don't stipulate the price of the item, then the price is unknown. It may lead to a dispute. And the fundamental principle of Sharia is that where there is a dispute or a potential of a dispute, it is prohibited. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Don't dispute with each other. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu mentioned, نَحَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَنْ بَيْءِ الْغَرَرِ. Nabi Sallallahu prohibited from a transaction in which there is uncertainty. And one part of uncertainty is when the price of the item is not stipulated. That means the thaman is majhool. It is unknown. So therefore, it is compulsory to stipulate the price of the item in order for the transaction to be valid. Second, at which time should the price be stipulated? Right at the outset of the transaction, the item must be stipulated. But some ulama have permitted that if right at the outset the price of the item is stipulated, or there's some kind of ambiguity before the conclusion of the deal, if that ambiguity can be removed, then it will still be permissible. An example is given there, the heap of wheat. And the person says that 1 kilo for 10 rands, but he doesn't know how many kilograms of wheat in that. So, but we know that we could weigh all the wheat there and you'll be able to know how many kilograms it is, through which you'll be able to find out what is the price of that. Now, because that ambiguity can be removed, some ulama have permitted that. Third, selling an item through the price tag. If the price is typically mentioned on that without talking anything, and which is the norm today, if the price is mentioned on the price tag, you buy the item. But in certain places, it's just the code. The person that's purchasing, he doesn't know what the price. They just buy the code. That is not permissible. You got the price, have to be stipulated. And fourth, selling an item with a market value. You and I enter into a transaction, I'm selling you gold. And I tell you, whatever the market price of the gold, I would sell you that. Now, we know gold is something that is the market price of it is regulated. And it is well known, it is well defined. So if I'm selling you gold, and I tell you that I'm whatever the market price of that, and because the market price is something that is regulated, it is well known, it is also gazetted, it is government controlled, so therefore it is permissible. And the last one, where a person sells, orders items from his supplier. Right at the beginning, he stipulated the price. But then he keeps on drawing. Say, well, send me another batch of this. Send me another batch of that. Send me another batch of that. He carries on, but not every time he stipulates the price. Just because the price has been fixed right at the beginning. So you can keep on drawing from the person without stipulating the price all the time. Unless the seller, the supplier tells him, now I'm changing the price. Now when he changes the price, now you have to go by the new regulation if both of them will have to agree. So these are some of the masail on i'anat alal masiyah. Where do you draw the line on assisting somebody in sin? And what are the laws pertaining to someone stipulating the price? We make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to understand these masail of Islamic finance, implement it. And it is through that, inshallah, barakah will come in our lives. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.